the following is a home program given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on June 18th, 2016, in Triolet, Mauritius.
This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization. It is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and joyfully performed. So one might ask, why does Krishna say, give us perception of the self? Don't I see myself when I look in a mirror? Who needs Bhagavad Gita? I have a mirror. The answer is what you see in the mirror is not yourself. It's a covering of the self. Just like your body, your garment covers you. The body is a garment covering the self. And throughout the life, we are changing that garment. We start out with little baby's garment, then a young child, then a teenager, then a young adult, then a middle-aged adult, and then an old man. In this way, we are always changing the garment throughout the life. But in spite of all of these changes of the bodily garment, the self remains the same. You have the same self now as you did when you were in your mother's womb. And the same self you had in previous lifetimes also, before you took this particular birth. And you will always have the same self through millions and millions of lifetimes. So, the Bhagavad Gita is teaching you how to fully realize that actual eternal self. One might ask then, why would I want to realize that eternal self? The answer is very clear. That eternal self is full of knowledge and full of bliss. The temporary self that we call the material body is full of ignorance and misery. So it's your choice. Do you want ignorance and misery? Or do you want knowledge and bliss? The animals have no choice. They're forced to identify with their bodies. Just like when I walk down the street here in Mauritius. Every day I take a walk down the street. I'm taking a walk down the street every day where I'm living. And every day there are three dogs who are forced to come and bark at me. You see? Ruff, ruff, ruff. This is my street. You get off my street. Ruff, ruff, ruff. They can't control themselves. They have to bark because they are dogs. You see? But the human being, he can control himself. He can get angry at somebody, or he can control his anger. You see, he has a choice. So human life means a life of choice. Animals have no choice. They have to act like an animal. But a human being can choose whether to act like an animal or act like a human being. He has a choice. You see. Sadly today in the modern world, 99.99% of the population, they are acting like animals. And therefore the world is in a chaotic situation. The bona fide spiritual master, utilizing the powerful Vedic teachings of India, teaches you how to overcome your animalistic nature and manifest your true spiritual nature of a human being. Human being means one who has realized that I am not this body. Human being means one who has realized I'm an eternal spiritual being. I share the same qualitative nature as God Himself. God is eternal. I am eternal. God is full of knowledge. I am full of knowledge. God is full of bliss. And I am also full of bliss. So one might ask then what is the difference between the living being and God? If they both have the same nature, what is the difference between them? The difference is one drop of ocean water compared to the entire ocean. So you are the drop of the ocean, you see. And God is the complete ocean. You have the same qualities of God. Just as a drop of water has the same chemical composition as the entire ocean. But your quantity of water is very small. And God's quantity of water is very, very big. If the drop thinks that I'm the entire ocean, he is an illusion. Because he's only a tiny drop. So we should realize our qualitative oneness with God, and at the same time realize our quantitative difference from God. This philosophy has been taught by a great personality named Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago in India. He taught this philosophical doctrine, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. The absolute truth is simultaneously one and different. So you are one with God qualitatively, and you are different from God quantitatively. Simultaneously, you are one with God and you are different from God. Some gurus teach you that actually you are God. There is no difference between you and God. But this is called half-hen logic. Ardha Kokuti Nyaya. Half in logic is very dangerous. I will give you an example of half-hen logic. There was one farmer, and he had a hen. And this hen laid very, very big eggs. The farmer was very, very happy. My hen laid such big, big eggs. In the marketplace, he was commanding very good price for those big, big eggs. But he had one complaint about his hen. The hen ate too much. So he had an idea. He said, this end of the hen that lays the egg is very good. And this end of the hen that eats is not very good. The rear end is very good. But the front of the hen, the head, is very bad. So he thought, I will cut off the head of the hen. I won't have to feed the hen anymore. I'll just take the eggs from the other side. So what happened to his hen? He couldn't figure out why the hen isn't laying eggs anymore. The foolish farmer, he killed the hen by cutting off the head. And he's not expecting to get big eggs from the hen, but a dead hen. Is he? So this half-hen is called half-hen logic. You have to take both sides of the hen. You cannot only take one side. So, we have to take both sides, you see. I am one with God, and I am different from God. This is the sublime teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what does that mean then, practically? If I am different from God, what is that difference? God is very big and I am very small. Just like your body, for an example. The hand is a small portion of the body, you see. So the body is big and the hand is small. So what does the small have to do in relation with the big? The small has to serve the big. It's like when the body needs food, the hand, it will take the food from the plate, it will put it in the mouth. The small is meant to serve the big. So if we are tiny and God is big, that means we are meant to serve God. Now if the hand refuses to serve the body by not feeding it any food, the hand will not get any nutrition. If the hand wants to receive nutrition, it must feed the complete whole body. And then it gets its nutrition, you see. So what does this tell us? This tells us, if you want to be happy, you have to make God happy. If you want to be pleased, then you must please God. If you don't please God, you cannot be happy. It is not possible. So then, how do you please God? That's the question. It is not difficult to understand how to please God. Because God Himself is speaking in Bhagavad Gita. And He is explaining what will please Him. Satatang kirtiyanto mam. Always chant my glories. Do you wonder why the devotees always like to go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare? You know why they do that? Because this gives pleasure to God. Just like the hand feeding the body. When you give pleasure to God, you feel so much pleasure. So when you chant Hare Krishna, you feel so much happiness in the heart. And what else does Krishna say? He says the devotees are freed from all of their karma. Because they only eat the food that they have first offered to me. So the tongue has two functions. One is to vibrate sounds, and the other is to eat. So this is how you can please God. You chant Hare Krishna, and you eat only that food which you have first offered to Him with love. This is called prasadam, you see. When you offer your food to God and then you eat that food, that is prasadam. So what will I offer God? What will I offer Him to eat? Will I go to McDonald's hamburgers and buy one hamburger and offer it to Krishna? Well, Krishna has given. Krishna has a diet, just like people have their diet. Krishna has a diet. Well, what is Krishna's diet, one could ask? Krishna has answered that question. He tells us, what is his diet? Krishna says, I am a vegetarian. Patram pushpam palam tayang yo my bhakta payachati. I will take a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, and that's it.
See?
He has not mentioned meat, fish, or eggs. So therefore, those who want to please God, they chant the holy names of God, and they offer their food to God. Fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains, but no meat, fish, or eggs. In this way, just by properly utilizing their tongues, they are able to please God 24 hours. And in this way, they're always feeling great joy and happiness within their hearts. So we have come here today to your wonderful town to share with you this knowledge, how you can find unlimited joy and happiness within your heart. We hope that you will give this process of pleasing God a try. For 1 week, try to chant every day the holy names of God and only eat food which you have first offered to God. And I guarantee you that will be the happiest week you ever had in your entire life. I made that experiment 45 years ago. I made that experiment, and it was that week was so wonderful. I continued that week for 45 years. I'm still doing that, you see. Every day I chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And I eat nothing except Krishna Prasad. I am now 68 years old, but I still feel like a young 23-year-old boy, you see. Because I have connected with my spiritual nature. So I challenge you, ladies and gentlemen. You do what I have done. And you will have the most wonderful life you could ever imagine. You'll be the happiest person in the whole world, I guarantee. So now I can ask you this, some questions. People are more interested in meditation, but in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna finds it difficult to control the mind. Please elaborate. Meditation here means silent meditation. Of course, silent meditation is better than speaking some rubbish. In other words, just imagine your relationship with your wife, for example. Think, well, I don't want to disturb my wife by having any argument, so I just won't speak to my wife, that's all. I'll just remain silent. Will that please your wife? You don't ever talk to her? Well, he's not arguing with me, at least. But he's not speaking to me also. You know? So this silent meditation is not very nice. You see. If you want to please someone, you speak pleasingly to them. You see. It's like I've come to give this talk today. You've all come to hear me. If I simply sit here and smile for 1 hour or 2 hours, will that keep your interest if I simply sit here for 2 hours? Will it keep your interest? No. What kind of nonsense is this? He's just sitting there smiling. He's not talking anything. So God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. So this silent meditation is not very good. God is a person. He wants to hear from you. So when you chant Hare Krishna, oh, he's so happy. Oh. So in this way, you see, this silent meditation is not very good. You know what they end up doing? Yes, I will do silent meditation. They fall asleep. But when you chant Hare Krishna, you will not fall asleep. Okay. People say that Lord Shiva is God, and we die, we go to Shiva Loka. Is that true? Actually, Shiva's abode is in between the material world and the spiritual world. Goloka namni nijadam nitale tatasya devi mahesha haridamma suteshu teshu te te prabhava nichaya vihachashchayena govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. This is described by Brahmaji. He says, lowest of all is located Devidam, the mundane world. Next above it is Maheshdam, the abode of Lord Shiva. Above Shiva Dham is Haridam, the abode of Hari. And above the Lord of Hari is Goloka, the abode of Lord Krishna. So there are four different Dham. There's Hari, there is Devi Dham, the mundane world. There's Mahesh Dham, the abode of Lord Shiva. There is the Hari Dham, the abode of Lord Vishnu. And there is Goloka Dham, the abode of Lord Krishna. So Lord Shiva's abode is a halfway position between the material world and the spiritual world. That's his abode, you see. It's a halfway position. So, that abode is better than the material world. But it's not as good as Hari Dham and Golok Dham. It's not as good as those abodes. Why did Lord Buddha come? Huh? If one is a devotee of Lord Shiva, a pure follower of Lord Shiva, he will go to Shiva's abode at the time of death. Yeah.
But they imitate Lord Shiva. If they die, they will go to Lord.
If one imitates Lord Shiva by smoking marijuana, he won't. You can't imitate Lord Shiva. You see. They want to imitate Lord Shiva. Just like before I became a devotee, I was a hippie. And the hippies, they thought Lord Shiva was very nice. You see, they're all smoking marijuana. Yes, Lord Shiva ki jai. Smoking marijuana, you see. Thinking. In our town, we had a popular rock and roll band, a hippie rock and roll band called Shiva's Headband.
But that is hippie.
I haven't finished.
Indians also do.
I haven't finished. He hadn't translated what I said, and you're cutting him. So the Shiva was considered very, very special by the hippies. Because he was smoking marijuana, you see. But they don't realize that Lord Shiva also is swallowing a whole ocean of poison. Without being just hurt by it, you see. So if they want to imitate Lord Shiva, let them swallow an ocean of poison also. You see. The point is, we cannot imitate Lord Shiva, that's the point. Actually, we should follow Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is actually the topmost Vaishnava. He's the topmost devotee of Krishna. So if you truly want to please Lord Shiva, then you become a Krishna Bhakta, just as Shiva is also a Krishna Bhakta. In fact, in Vrindavan, India, where Krishna had his Leela, there's a Shiva temple. Gopeshwara, huh? Yeah, Gopeshwara. Lord Shiva participates in the Rasa Leela. Lord Shiva is the security guard to keep the nonsense away from the Rasa Leela. So he is Krishna's security service, security guard company to keep the nonsense away from Rasa Leela. So he is a great devotee of Krishna, Lord Shiva. You see, he is serving the Rasa Leela of Krishna. You see, so we have the greatest respect and love for Lord Shiva. He is very worshipable by us. You see. We understand that the best way to please Lord Shiva is to worship his Lord Krishna. That gives the greatest pleasure to Shiva. There are some who want to worship Lord Shiva as the Supreme. They are the ghosts and hobgoblins. Actually, you know, at the time of sunset, Lord Shiva comes flying across the sky, followed by all the ghosts and hobgoblins. Did you know that? the sunset time. Sunrise is very auspicious. Sunrise in the morning is very auspicious. But the sunset is not very auspicious. Because Shiva comes flying across the sky with all his hobgoblins, ghosts and hobgoblins. So we don't worship Shiva like those ghosts and hobgoblins. We worship Shiva as the topmost devotee of Krishna. And you had some...
People are worshipping Lord Shiva is not for that. They are devoted to Lord Shiva. They are just doing for material benefits.
Yeah, if you worship Lord Shiva for material benefits, you're in the same category with the ghosts and hobgoblins.
And also you gave the hippies, but the Hindus also smoke ganja.
Marijuana smoking is actually not very good, not very healthy for us. We cannot imitate Lord Shiva. Why did Lord Buddha come? He came to... I'll pass on that question. What is the spiritual and material worlds? The material world is a world for those who want to imitate God, and the spiritual world is a world for those who want to serve God. Who is Lord Chaitanya? Who is Lord Chaitanya?
Birth, death, old age, and disease take place. The spiritual
death
doesn't.
Yes.
Dans le monde matériel, il y a naissance, il y a vieillesse, il y a l'amour, mais dans le monde spirituel, il y a tout ça.
Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself appearing in the form of his devotee. And he chants the Hare Krishna mantra to teach us how to become spiritually perfect. Is Krishna one of the many gods? If all the gods are one, there is no supreme god. So just consider this point. If there's many gods and there's no supreme god, this is actually atheism. You see? Just like if I say every court is the supreme court. There's no one court above the other courts. They're all the supreme court. That means there is no supreme court. Supreme means one without a second. That's supreme. So we want to believe in God. See, there's God with a small g and God with a capital G. You see? There are many gods with a small g. But there's only one God with a big G. There are many subordinate gods. There's only one supreme God. That is called Vishnu Tattva. That one supreme God has taken many forms as Krishna, as Ram, as Narsingha, as Vamana, as Kalki. These are all different manifestations of that one supreme God. And there are also subordinate gods like Indra, Ganesh, Brahmaji, Shiva, etc. Although Shiva then has his own unique position, he is halfway between being God and being an ordinary soul, you see. There are three categories of living beings. Vishnu Tattva is the supreme God. Their jiva tattva, the living beings, just like all the demigods, Durga, Ganesh, all these are all jiva tattva. But Shiva is in a unique position. Shiva tattva is halfway in between Vishnu tattva and jiva tattva. Anything you want to add? Anything? Just jump right in. What is the meaning of guru? Guru means one who is heavy with knowledge. He purely represents the teachings of Krishna. Guru does not invent any knowledge. The original guru is Krishna himself. He reveals this knowledge to Brahmaji at the beginning of the universe. Brahmaji then reveals this knowledge to his disciple Narada Ji, who reveals it to his disciple Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedic wisdom. Srila Vyasadeva then enlightens Madhvacharya, the great Acharya. And this way the knowledge comes down to Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis. It has finally come down to my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And now I am giving you that same knowledge. That is called Guru. He does not invent anything. He simply passes on to you. Just like if you mail someone $100 bill in the mail, the postal worker, he delivers the envelope. Here is your letter, and the $100 bill is in the letter. You see. So guru, he is like postal worker. So he simply delivers what has been given by God Himself. He doesn't open the envelope and put some more money in or take some money out. He simply delivers it as it has been given by the original. So if one can get the shelter of a bona fide guru, his life becomes perfect. How do I know that? Because I did that. In 1971, 45 years ago, I did that. I became the disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And my life was completely transformed into the most wonderful celebration of bliss. Okay. Is it worth it to pray for others' spiritual advancement? Why don't you first become spiritually advanced yourself? Someone said, well, I'd like to be a doctor. But he's very sick. A doctor cannot be sick, he has to be healthy. If a doctor has a contagious disease, how he can be a doctor? Doctor must be healthy. And then he can help others to be healthy. So you want to help others become spiritually advanced? Then you must first become spiritually advanced. You see? You take shelter of bona fide guru. You get initiated by bona fide guru. You become obedient to bona fide guru. And then automatically you're spiritually advanced. And then you can give that knowledge to others. It is said that God lives in our heart and our body is a temple. Is it true? Yes, it is a fact. But you have to understand how to find God within yourself. Otherwise, you remain in chaotic condition. The bona fide spiritual master teaches you how to find God within you. Can you share with us the nectar of your sadhana? I mean, how you discovered ISKCON and about your positive spiritual advancement. Well, I'll try to make a brief description. Huh?
It's enthusiasm and perseverance.
How did I come to ISKCON? They wanted to know.
They want to know how did you advance in your sadhana.
Yeah, oh. How did, said how you discover ISKCON? Your sadhana, yes. For sadhana, Prabhupada gave, my spiritual master gave me a direct order, which has been the whole secret of how I, my sadhana, and that is, Prabhupada told me to always be enthusiastic. When I first got initiated, Prabhupada sent me a my name in a letter from London. So when you get initiated, you give some dakshina to your Guru Maharaj, you see. But Prabhupada is not there. I cannot turn in some dakshina to the yagya. He was not there, you see. So I had to mail him the dakshina. So I get to write Prabhupada a letter along with the dakshina. And Prabhupada wrote me back as a he acknowledged the amount, the exact amount of the three checks that I sent him. And he said, I can see that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy. He said, if you will simply continue enthusiastically as you are doing, surely Krishna will bless you. So, whatever advancement I've made is because of that, you see. Because I follow Prabhupada to always be enthusiastic. For 45 years, I'm still enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness. Actually, I'm becoming more enthusiastic. Even though I'm an old man now, almost 70-year-old man, you see. So I look like a 70-year-old man. I feel like a youngster, you see, full of enthusiasm. Conquer the world enthusiasm, you see. I feel like that, you see. Because my Guru Maharaj has blessed me. So it's actually His mercy. By His mercy. How I discovered ISKCON? Well, I first met the devotee. My first idea when I took up the self-realization path was I would go to India and become one of those sadhus in India, you know. Living as a mendicant in the Himalayas or on the bank of the Ganges, something like that. Just living as a mendicant. That was my first, that was my career path, you see. Everyone has a career path. I want to be a computer programmer, I want to be a doctor. Mine was, I will be a sadhu in India. That was my career path. You see.
Mm-hmm.
I want to deny all forms of material sense gratification. You see? Deny this, deny that, deny this, deny that, deny everything. You see? And become sadhu in India. Yes. But then I was on my way to India actually to become a sadhu. But then I had a really amazing realization. My philosophy is deny this, deny this, deny everything. But then I realized, well, now there's only one thing left to deny. And that is denial itself. I've denied everything. Now I have denied denial also. So what will I accept now? I'm denying denial. That means I have to accept something which is transcendental, beyond this world. Instead of leaving the world, now I must stay in the world to make a spiritual revolution, to deliver the world, you see. And then I had this feeling that there was some personalities in San Francisco who were calling me to join them. So instead of going to India, I went to San Francisco. And I went to one neighborhood called Haight-Ashbury, where there is one park called Golden Gate Park. And I walked into the park, and there was all these people in robes singing and dancing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So that's how I met ISKCON. Okay, next question. It is said that the choice that we have is also dictated by material nature. Please comment on the real choice we have. Do we really have a choice? As long as we're under the control of material nature, we don't really have any choice. We're just being manipulated by the modes of nature. Just like those dogs who were barking at me today, they had no choice. I must bark. I have to bark. I have no option. I'm a dog. I must roof, 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 roof. That's my nature. I must bark. I can't not bark. I am a dog. I have to bark. You see? So as long as you remain under the material nature, you must act according to the dictates of the modes of nature. You have no choice. You are a slave of the modes of nature. However, you do have a choice. And that choice is to get out of the influence of the modes of material nature. As long as you're within the modes, you have no choice. But you can choose to get out of the modes of material nature by surrender to God. But my dear Lord, now I'm your servant, please instruct me. And I will serve you instead of the material modes of nature. So if you make that decision now within your heart, and I hope you will, I hope everyone in this room now will make the determination that now, my dear Supreme Lord, I surrender fully unto you. I hope you will all pray that way within your heart right now. We will have a moment of silence so all you can pray within your heart, my dear Lord, now I fully surrender to you. We'll have a moment of silence. You can all pray that. Okay, so those who actually did that, now you're coming out of the influence of the modes of material nature. Now you are becoming the architect of your own destiny. Instead of a slave of the material modes of nature. How can that be? Because if one has that sincere desire that my dear Lord, I now surrender unto you, Krishna within the heart will give him the intelligence. Sarvashya chaham hridishana vishto mataksmatir gyanam apohanam cha.
Krishna has already given them through the guru the message.
Yes.
Now they have to act on it.
Yes, when your heart is pure, that you truly want to surrender to the Lord will show you, and here is your guru, your spiritual master. Now you follow his directions and become his disciple. That will be the natural consequence if you sincerely prayed that way.
Yes.
Wait.
They have to start offering their food or something.
That means you should start chanting, those who have truly wanted to surrender to God now, you follow my instructions. I will guide you and teach you how to actually do that. You should no more meat, fish, or eggs should you offer. You offer vegetarian food to Krishna every day before you eat. Offer all your food. And every day you chant this Hare Krishna mantra. And you begin like that. Would you like to elaborate further on that for everyone's benefit?
Yeah, prayer means that the instruction and guidance is coming through Bhagavad Gita, through the spiritual master, through the devotees. One has to do something.
Then learn from the devotees how to be a devotee, yes. You inquire from Guru and the devotees, how can I become an actual devotee of God? And they will teach you all the details. Yes.
As for the devotees who are already practicing, they have to get out of the merge. Means if they are meant to wake up for Mangalarti, go to hear Bhagavatam, then they should pursue for that. Otherwise they cannot get out.
And those who have taken the pathway, they have to take it seriously also. That's about it. How much time do we have now? It's 6 o'clock. When are we supposed to end? 10 more minutes? 10 more minutes? Okay. Louder, please. We have a whole stack of them. Maybe I should save them for the next talk.
Give it to me. Half I can answer.
Huh?
Half I can answer.
All right. Now, we'll give now Guru Mataji will answer the rest of the questions. Some of them? Okay. Here, let's give Guru Mataji a stack. Let her answer some. Give that microphone to Guru Mataji. This mic here, the 3 mics. Give one mic to Guru Mataji. Someone can hold it for her. There's no mic stand there. Someone can hold it so she can speak, yeah. You want me to answer one? Okay. All right, I'll take one. What is the point that the Bhagavad Gita is... What is the proof that Bhagavad Gita is not mythology? Because there's an actual... You can go to India and see the actual place where the battle took place. Kurukshetra is not mythological. It's an actual place. You can take the train and go and see the actual spot where the Bhagavad Gita was spoken.
So, I would say also, you translate and I'm
going to add to that.
When you go to this school, why don't you think that the knowledge they are teaching is also not mythology? Why? What is the reason? Because it's man-made. This is not man-made, so it's not a mythology. You put this knowledge into practice and you will see they get the result, just like you put the material knowledge and you get the material benefits.
Truth works.
Yes, and you will get the spiritual benefit. That is the life of the human life, otherwise it's not human, it's just the animal life.
How to be sure there will be any successful result? Because best give examples of those who did not die and became eternal.
Foolishly, we don't understand that we are already eternal. The body is dying. That's by ignorance we are in. So understand that who you are first. What is the difference between the chanting the Maha Mantra and other mantras? The difference is that we do not know how to chant the other mantras correctly. We are not qualified to chant. And Maha Mantra is given for this age to attain the benefit of the whole, all the mantras. It is said that in this age of Kali, only this Maha Mantra, 16 words of Maha Mantra has to be chanted and has to be done as a yajna. And it's also very easy to chant this mantra. You can chant anywhere and everywhere in all circumstances. Whereas other mantras, we are not qualified first
thing.
And it has to be done in a specific time. How to control anger? Why we should have a guru? How to control anger? By practice. Only by chanting Hare Krishna one can start controlling the anger. Why should we have a guru? When did you have to go to the school? For mundane education. There you accepted the guru. To become another animal. For eating, sleeping and mating. Why do you think that you don't need a guru for higher education?
Very good answer.
What kind of magic can a mantra perform? Purify your heart. And awaken your natural constitutional position.
This is for me. Hand it over. Read it or answer it?
Answer it, see what it is.
Shall I answer this now?
Yeah.
Okay. A drop has an oral form, oval form, okay. But the form of the ocean cannot be defined. And actually the ocean has a form also. Who says it can't be defined? An expert person can precisely define the shape of the ocean. It's shaped by all the land that it sits within. It's like a tub of water. There's an actual physical dimension to the tub. There's actual precise measurements. The tub is this long, it's this wide, it's this high. So a tub full of water is precisely defined. Similarly, the ocean is simply a huge tub of water, and the Earth planet is the basin. And that can be clearly defined, exactly how many gallons of water are sitting in it. That can be clearly defined by if someone has the expert knowledge to do that, but it's something that is discernible. So your conclusion that God has no form is illogical and irrational. Next question.
Mm-hmm. capre qui fondait l'unité, le capre qui fondait la capacité de l'eau dans la dent, en étant donné une même forme.
The question is, what if we do so much effort taking the lifestyle of a monk, and in the end, there is nothing after this life, not even incarnation, nor bliss, nor eternity? You are so much in ignorance, deep into the ignorance, that you do not know you are always eternal, the eternal living being. That it never dies, it never. If you take the austerity of being a monk and you perform it perfectly, you can go back home and back home, not remain in this material world. And you will live a life of full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity.
Finished? No more? Okay. We'll stop here. We can save these questions for another lecture. I'll be giving a class tomorrow. You're all invited to come. It'll also be on the internet. You just go to livelectures.net. You can tune in, since it's the other side of the island, I think, from here. Go to livelectures.net tomorrow at 7:30. And you can actually be a part of the class via the internet, livelectures.net. And you can be on the class tomorrow, and I'll be answering these questions tomorrow. Why do you want to take them? I'll keep them with me. I'll keep them with me.
Yeah.
You want to keep it with you? Give it to me in the morning? Okay. You're the caretaker of the questions. Okay. So we thank you all very much. And I would like to offer these garlands to our hosts. The Mr. and Mrs. or the where's the Mrs. for the Mr. I don't have three for the mothers. Another one for the mother. We have three garlands. No, only two. So, thank you very much for hosting us, Hare Krishna. I would like the mother to come. I'll give her the first prasadam. Come on, Mataji, you come. Take the first prasadam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay, now everyone come to prasadam.